Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church of the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
Well, it's been a special morning, hasn't it? It's good to remember and to celebrate and to be church family together in these significant moments. I just feel like I'm wearing a couple different hats today, and that's okay. It's been quite a month for Freeburg Nation and for our household. Jalen graduated earlier this month, and Elias graduates on Friday, so you can be in prayer for us. But what a beautiful moment to celebrate and a chance to gather around these students and say, well done, and we're so proud of you, and to declare the truth that God will go with you over these next months and years. To the seniors, I just want to say we bless you, and may God go with you in all your journeys, and may you continue to walk closely with him. What a blessing. The other blessing of today, perhaps for some of you, is the preacher gets less time to talk. So we may go a little longer than normal, but I'll try to not be too lengthy in my thoughts or remarks this morning. Today we're finishing up this season of Eastertide. This is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and although every Sunday is a remembrance and a commemoration of Easter Sunday morning, today is the last official season or Sunday in the season of Eastertide. And so we remain in 1 Peter for this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open to 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll be starting in verse 12. And it's a divided lection this week. So there's a portion from 1 Peter chapter 4, and there's a portion from 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read verses 12 through 14 in chapter 4, and then verses 6 through 11 in chapter 5. For those who are willing and able, out of reverence for the reading of God's word, I invite you to stand as we read together today from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. Dear friends, don't be surprised about the fiery trials that have come among you to test you. These are not strange happenings. Instead, rejoice as you share Christ's suffering. You share his suffering now so that you may also have overwhelming joy when his glory is revealed. If you are mocked because of Christ's name, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory, indeed, the Spirit of God, rests on you. And skipping over to chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's power so that he may raise you up in the last day. Throw all your anxiety onto him because he cares about you. Be clear-headed. Keep alert. Your accuser, the devil, is on the prowl like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Do so in the knowledge that your fellow believers are enduring the same suffering throughout the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, the one who called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore, empower, strengthen, and establish you. To him be power forever and always. Amen. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, in a lot of ways, as I prepared for my sermon this week, I'm drawn to kind of the larger story that's at play here in 1 Peter and this epistle that we're reading. Over the last several Wednesday nights, we've been offering a class that takes a look at reading the Bible as literature, particularly reading biblical narratives or biblical stories as literature, and taking a literary approach to what it looks like to dive deeply into these biblical stories, these biblical narratives. It's been a fun and insightful class. But as we've been going through the class, all of the sermons that I've been preaching have been coming from 1 Peter. So it doesn't really apply. It's the scripture passages that we've been working through on Sundays have been epistles, which are not narratives, not stories. But I have to confess that I think as we've been talking about taking a look at the broad story as we look at narratives in scripture, it's called to mind and brought my attention to, I wonder what the story is behind this letter. I wonder what the story is behind these messages that Peter is sending to these people that have wandered off, the diaspora, the people that had kind of filtered away from Jerusalem and from Israel. What's behind these messages? And if you haven't been with us over the past 6 weeks, if you haven't been following along on our podcast or Facebook or YouTube, we have all of those, but this isn't a plug at all. If you've been tracking with us, if you've been here, what's been going on? Every week, the author of Peter goes back to Jesus. Back to Jesus as our example. Back to Jesus as the one who suffered first, and now we join him. Back to Jesus as the cornerstone, named him the capstone in one of the chapters. Jesus is the first. Jesus is the primary. Jesus is the one that we follow. Over and over again, the people to whom this letter was written had to be reminded, at least according to the author of this letter, had to be reminded, Jesus is the one whom we follow. Look at Jesus. Follow Jesus. Be like Jesus. And today, in the first section particularly, is really no different. Again, here we talk about the suffering that Jesus faced, the suffering that these people were going through. And as I've read about 1 Peter and taken a look at the time period in which scholars believe this letter was written, there isn't a lot of evidence that up in Asia Minor, where this diaspora had been sent to. Actually, it was sent a lot of places, and yet the beginning of the letter, if you remember, names certain places. And so scholars can go back and say, well, we can find those places. We can try to take a look. And there's not a lot of evidence that there was a lot of persecution of believers going on at that time. There's not a lot of corroborating that story, that suffering and persecution were really happening in that place at that time. But there was certainly a worry of persecution. Certainly there was this hesitation, there was this angst, this sense of, we don't know what's coming. It's kind of unknown. Certainly a worry and a fear of such things headed that way. Undoubtedly, news of the persecution of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and then the other believers that followed had reached their ears, had come their way, had arrived on scene. And the author of 1 Peter said frequently, it's okay. The suffering will come. The suffering might come. The suffering might be on its way. And so here they are, this group that's a long ways off from Jerusalem, where Jesus had been crucified was kind of the center, was kind of ground zero, was kind of where the biggest splash had been made by the ministry of Jesus. And then his resurrection appearances happened in the area of Galilee, which wasn't that far away. And here are those that are trying to follow Christ, trying to follow Jesus, a long ways off. They're removed. Whether they had been previous believers and scattered for their safety, or maybe they had become believers in this far-off place, they were a long ways away. They are in a far-off place from the places, from the moments, from the experiences that we read about in the Gospels, that the apostles experienced, that the followers of Christ experienced, that the church in Jerusalem went through. And in response to these folks all along the way, the example of Christ has been primary. As we've read through this book, as we've sampled different sections through the epistle of 1 Peter, the example of Christ has always been primary. But the reality of suffering and the reality of persecution and going through hard times and difficult times on the horizon were always kind of in view. And yet into this mix, there's this second section of Scripture that we read today from chapter 5. And there's some very specific instructions that the author of this letter gives to the people of the diaspora, the people who find themselves in this far-off spot, in this place that's removed. There's some very specific instructions. What does the author say? First thing the author says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under God's power. And why do we do that? He says, humble yourself. He says, humble yourself under God's power. And then he gives an explanation why this might be a good idea. He says, humble yourselves under God's power so that it is God who lifts you up. Have you ever been caught trying to lift yourself up? When I try to lift myself up, I seem a little heavy. It might be true. When I try to lift myself up, the weight is too great. I crumble under that pressure. It's too much for me. It doesn't work. I find myself frustrated. I find myself discouraged and tired. The author of the epistle says, humble yourself under the power of God, that God might be the one who lifts you up. God's a lot more powerful than I am. When I've allowed God to be the one who lifts me up, when I humble myself before God, there's no disappointment. There's no fatigue. There's no struggle. There's no striving. For I release control in a position of humility, and God is the one able to lift me up. When we look around the world today, I think we see a lot of people trying to lift themselves up sometimes, and not humbling themselves before God. The second thing he says is, cast all your anxiety upon God because he cares for you. Anxiety has become a tricky word. And today, as I talk about that word, I don't want to minimize the very real and true reality that there are people who struggle with anxiety in significant and profound ways. And I don't think that this verse, sometimes it's been weaponized, I think. Well, just give it to God. It's not a sensitive treatment of some of those who struggle with chronic anxiety in the world today. And so I want to be really careful here. But Scripture does say that the care of God is our basis for transferring that anxiety to God. That's a piece of it. I don't want to minimize the work that people do with their counselors and what a blessing it is that God has allowed us to develop medication for some of the things that people struggle with. But what I do want to say that for those that experience this faith-centered anxiety, this concern about, is God really there? Does God really care for me? 1 Peter leaves no doubt. You can cast that anxiety on God because he does, in fact, care for you. And that's good news. That's good news. It's not enough for all that would struggle with anxiety, but that's a part of the puzzle. That's a piece of the puzzle that says there is a good God who cares for you. And I think that makes a difference. Christ is enough for the doubts that we have, for the faith struggles and anxiety that we have. God is big enough. And so an encouragement to cast our anxiety on him. The third instruction that he says is stay awake. That's not during my sermon. That's in life, right? Like, stay awake, be alert, be aware, have a clear head. Because there's an adversary out there. There's an enemy out there. And the evil forces of this world, the evil forces in our own mind, the evil forces in our, the voices inside our head sometimes even, are present and real, and will seek to pull apart that which God has built in our lives. True? Great, just a great list of action steps. That's what you find in epistles, is you find this author speaking to a group of people saying, here, this is important. You need to learn this. You need to do that. Be reminded of this. Kind of very instructional for us. And I like that. I'm challenged by those action steps today. But I came to this point this week as I was preparing for this text, preparing to speak today, where I realized that there's this incredible parallel in today's text for our graduates that we celebrate today. I believe that in this transition point, many of you, if not all of you, are very close to finding yourself in a far-off place. Do you remember these graduations? For those of us that are a little older, do you remember these things? I remember my graduations very significantly, and we're going to go on a little stroll down memory lane here. I graduated from Ontario High School just across the border in 1995, so you can figure all the things out about my age right there. I graduated Ontario High School in 1995. I was ready to go to a college the next year and changed my mind, took a gap year, hung out at home for a year. Guess what? All my friends left. All the people that I had known left. All the people that I had hung out with left. And I didn't have this thing that the bell rung every morning and all the people my age kind of gathered in town in the same place. And all of a sudden, I got a job and I was waking up earlier than I had to when I was in high school. And I was making a paycheck and trying to figure out life. It was a far-off place, right at home. As I stayed with my parents, I found myself in a far-off place. A few years later, I said it was gap year, so the year of 2000, I graduated from college, from NNU, from Nampa, Idaho, a little closer. Went to small town Washington, Centralia, Washington, a place that had nobody my same age that attended the church. To go from a college campus where we were all within usually about four years of each other. And again, there were these schedules that brought us together. And I had all this interaction. Found these ways and means of growth and was challenged. And I went to this small town and again found myself in a far-off place. In a place that looked unfamiliar, a place that looked difficult, a place that I struggled to find kind of my new rhythm and my new place, my new niche to fit into. The reality is that we all have these moments throughout our lives, that it's not a one-time thing. It's not one and done. It's not like, oh, we're done with graduation, so we never have to feel this way. So the rest of you are all off, not off the hook as well. We've all been there. And we will all be there in the future again. And the author of 1 Peter, what does he tell us to do? What does he invite us to do or instruct us to do? And so to the graduates and to all of us, I say this. What's our instructions today from 1 Peter chapter 5? Humble ourselves under God, that God might be the one who lifts us up. In those moments of being in that far-off place, there's times when I need God to lift me up because I'm too heavy. The burden is too great. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not resilient enough to pick myself up by the bootstraps and figure it out. Praise the Lord, I'm not. Because it creates a dependency on the one who I should be depending on. Amen? Humble ourselves. Cast our anxiety. Be alert and resist the enemy. In our lives, sometimes these transitions that we go through put us in far off places. When we find ourselves there, and graduates, you got a little bit of time probably before this happens, but when you find yourself there, we have our instructions in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Here's the promise. Here's the promise from God today, that in those hard moments, when we find ourselves in the far-off places, when we find ourselves experiencing the pain, going through the suffering, experiencing the discomfort, having that angst, God will be there. When we find ourselves in those moments, God will be there. And there's something that God's doing. There's something that God is doing for us. God will be there, restoring, empowering, strengthening, and establishing. That's what the Word of God says. That that's the activity of Christ. That that's what God wants to do in our lives. Notice in the list, it didn't say making everything easy, bright and sunny and merry, and you will be smiling the whole way. And success will always be yours, and you'll always have money in the bank. It doesn't say any of those things. What it does say is God will be there restoring, empowering, strengthening, and establishing you if you allow God to work in your life. Those promises. That's the activity of God connected to these promises that God wants to give to us today. Thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team to come on forward as we close our service today. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to offer the benediction. I want to invite each and every one of you over to the Family Center. I believe cake is being cut right now. There are also senior tables over there where we have displays for many of the seniors that we celebrated earlier in the service. So I want you to check those out. I also want you to find these graduates and shake their hands. And even if they don't know you and you've never met them, you can look them in the eye and say, we're church family, and I just want to say congratulations. And I think that's okay. The seniors got to get used to some of that anyway. So I encourage you to do it. And if you're a hugger, just give them a hug, and some of them will stand there kind of stiff because they're not huggers, and that's okay too. But as the praise team is coming today, may we be reminded that when we find ourselves in those far-off places, because it's not just the graduates, folks, it's me, and it's you as well. When we find ourselves in those far-off places, God is there. God is present, and God is at work on our behalf. Amen? Amen. May it be so in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for the chance to gather in this space. I'm grateful for the image in my mind of a crowd of people surrounding those that we honor today. But I'm more thankful that your Spirit goes with them, with my son, with the other graduates, and even with me to the far-off places that we encounter, in order to be a presence there that restores, that empowers, that strengthens and establishes us as we live in accordance to the way that you want us to live, as we allow you to work in our lives. May it be so for each of us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. 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 As we conclude, as we bring our service to a close, I'm going to invite those who are willing and able, would you please stand? And we have this tradition as we pray a benediction prayer of holding out our hands just to remind us that we receive this benediction prayer today. May the God of all grace, the one who called you into eternal glory in Christ Jesus, restore us, empower us, strengthen us, and establish us as part of God's holy kingdom, we pray. To God be the power forever and always. Amen. Amen. I encourage you to hit the Family Center if you can. Go in the love of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church the Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us. And have a great week.